Welcome to this Tahoe Project interview. I'm your host, Michelle Sweeney, and today our interview is with Peter Kratz, Deputy Director of the Placer County Public Works Department. Peter, thanks for being here today.
Sure. Nice to see you.
So, how long have you been with Placer County Public Works?
About 10 years.
About 10 years. And is that how long you've been also in the Tahoe area, or were you here before that?
Before then, I've been in the Tahoe area since 1995.
Okay.
And a resident of Truckee, California since 1995.
Okay, great. Now, I know you've been involved in a number of projects during that time. And most recently, you've been really involved in implementation of the total maximum daily load program for Lake Tahoe. And that's primarily what I'd like to talk to you about today. In some of my other interviews with people across the Tahoe horizon, things have come up, you know, references to the TMDL have included things like, well, it's been a real game changer for us in the private sector or in the public sector. It's changed the way we do things. And for others, it's been less of a factor. What I'm really interested in today is your perspective at first on the macro of the Lake Tahoe total maximum daily load program, what it is for you at Placer County, and then how it has affected the way that you look at your work as the public works director.
Good question, Michelle. I'll try to start big and zoom down a little bit. Being in the public works department for 10 years with Placer County now, when I first started in back about 2002, we as Placer County, along with the other local governments in Lake Tahoe Basin, were governed by water quality permits, and particularly on the California side by the Lahontan Water Quality Control Board through what's called a municipal stormwater permit. And that essentially governs the land on the California side of the lake in terms of stormwater quality and the quality of that stormwater and how it affects the clarity and the quality of Lake Tahoe and the other water bodies of the water of Lake Tahoe Basin. And from that point, in my experience from 2002 forward, you know, that permit with Lahontan drove a lot of what we do in terms of retrofitting the public right-of-way, particularly our county roads, with things like curb and gutter, what are called best management practices, and to make improvements on controlling that stormwater before it gets to Lake Tahoe. If I jump ahead, and those permits run in 5-year increments, and so if I jump ahead to the current municipal permit that actually just got adopted 2 nights ago by the Lahontan Water Quality Control Board for the 3 California jurisdictions, Placer County, El Dorado County, and the City of South Lake Tahoe, that of course contains what you mentioned, the total maximum daily load, that we didn't have in the previous municipal permits. Those previous permits were more related to holding us to what are called effluent limitations, and looking at the culprits for Lake Tahoe clarity, that being sediment and phosphorus and nitrogen. So the total maximum daily load kind of morphs us or transitions us from a kind of this point source runoff program to what we all know is not really a point source situation in Lake Tahoe, but dispersed flow of water into the lake, and really looking at how much the lake can assimilate in terms of sediment coming into the lake and still maintain its clarity, or preferably improve its clarity over time. And if we can reduce sediment coming into the lake over time from the land in the basin, then in theory, the clarity will go up. At least that's what the science tells us. So in a lot of ways, the total maximum daily load for Placer County, I think the other local jurisdiction, it's been a good thing. It's set a framework or an idea of, okay, in each jurisdiction, this is the estimate of how much sediment is coming off the land into the lake, and then giving us goals and a framework for how much we need to reduce to reach what's called the clarity challenge and improving the clarity. I would say for all the local jurisdictions on the California side and the Nevada side too, there's still a lot of questions about the science, about if we do all these things and try to reach these goals for reducing sediment coming into the lake, how much of an impact is that to clarity? How much, and when will we see the changes in clarity? We've known that we've done a lot of things since probably the mid-1980s in Lake Tahoe with respect to minimizing sediment coming into the lake, and with mixed results. And I would say that, you know, when we look at the graph for clarity improving or going down, we see a graph where it goes up and down, and it sometimes is connected to the winters we have and the runoff we get every year. But, you know, recently we see a flattening of that curve, meaning that the loss in clarity is not going down as high of a rate. So we have a sense that we are doing the good things on the land. And so that said, you know, as we're going forward under this new permit with on the California side, the total maximum daily load, we've got more science than we had, say, 30 years ago in terms of what we're trying to do on the landscape. And as we move forward, I would say that, you know, now we've got options of how we move forward, a little bit more control or ideas of how we make improvements. But where we sit today with this new permit, we also, and I know you haven't really asked the question yet, but we can start talking about funding, about how we've spent a lot of money in the basin since the mid-90s for water quality. And that money, we've used that money, I think we've used it pretty smartly, but we're not done. And there's going to be an ongoing management scheme forever in the basin, in the urban setting, of how we keep the water clean as it runs off our roads and our impervious surfaces.
I have a quick question for you.
Sure.
Related to that. So I don't know when the first structures were placed in Tahoe, you know, pre-Comstock period or whatever, but Tahoe was not built. Our urban centers were not built with sediment, keeping sediment in place in mind.
Right.
Right. So you've used the word retrofit, and you've described instances of needing to go back and redo or revamp existing systems or create them where there is none. Mm-hmm. I guess in the public sector, how do you think about that task? How did you approach this task when you were asked to apply a very, you know, analytical, quantitative framework to the landscape?
I'll say going back in time a little bit and then where we are today, how we look at the land in Placer County and how other local jurisdictions look at their land and what they control. First, we start talking about where we can make impacts to where the land has been either mismanaged or how it's been developed in a way, whether it's a road that has no control of runoff. We first have to look at what we do control, and that is the public right-of-way. That we have the most control of them to make impacts, positive impacts, when we do, say, an erosion control project or a water quality improvement project. And for as long as I've been in my position at Placer County, we've used what's called the preferred design approach, which is, you know, looking at our public right-of-ways, which are generally our county roads, and looking at, well, where is the sediment coming from? And that's where we talk about source control. And I use the simple example of a road cut that sheds a lot of sediment during storm events. That's where we put a lot of our energy in first, and probably look at that as a high priority area to treat or to deal with, or to deal with eliminating the erosion. Because you'd want to treat the source before that water gets too far down the line and causes more erosion. You can treat the source, then downstream of that, you've done a lot of the work. Beyond that, the preferred design approach talks about hydrologic control. And so you're looking at taking flow off the side of that cut and making sure it's not concentrated in one area, but it's dispersed out. And maybe you need to divert it into a meadow, because that before the road was there, there was a meadow there and it's been cut off. And so those are the kind of things that you look at when you're looking at, again, impacted areas within your jurisdiction. The third thing of the preferred design approach for dealing with water quality is you do the source control and the hydrologic control, but then you still have dirty water potentially to deal with, and that's where you apply treatment. And the treatment can be as simple as a detention basin that collects that water from going into the lake, and that promotes the infiltration of that runoff. there was a time probably 5 or 6 years ago where Lahontan and the local jurisdictions and across the whole basin, we looked at treatment as being spending a lot of money on cleaning the water to, you know, drinking water standards, and taking that approach and taking the urban runoff and putting it through pump and treat and discharging it in that way. We found that just it was cost prohibitive to go down that path. And so we're back to kind of the basics of, again, source control, hydrologic control, and then detaining that water and allowing it to infiltrate back into the land is the one of the most cost-effective ways to treat the impacted lands that we oversee within our jurisdictions around the basin.
This is the end of part one in the conversation with Placer County Deputy Director of Public Works, Peter Kratz. Thank you for listening at TahoeProject.org.